time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Welcome aboard, live in Las Vegas, South Point Sportsbook from the VSiN studio. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard. We'll talk college football with Brad Powers in about 5 minutes. Good night tonight in sports.
Yes, it is.
Very good night.
I was out of place yesterday. No NBA, no hockey. Just had baseball.
Yesterday was a weird day.
There was a lot of day games, though, in MLB, and that was good. And the Padre game was entertaining.
Wednesday had no feel.
No feel. There it is, too, by the way. The Royale with cheese is what we're talking about. 25-cent progressive. Can you believe it was? I can't believe it was that high. I walk by that thing all the time, and I will go in there Friday. I'll go tomorrow when I put in my last man standing picks, and I will ask around about what they all start. I believe this is 20.
20,000 up to 150.
50,000. It's got to be in order. And it's dealt. You see how it was dealt, and they just needs the queen and the bank. He gets it for $150,000. I can understand the original report about his money, his card. They're playing on a date. He goes to the bathroom. She hits. Then I could see, like, oh, my God, but they're going to side with the person who hits the button. But that's apparently the onlooker had it wrong. It was she went to the bathroom, his money, his card. It took them 2 seconds to look at the footage. Oh, no, you got nothing, honey. They paid the guy. Pay the man. $150,000.
So
look at that.
So when you do this and you're playing, and you like to play the video poker a lot, but when you go to a bar, and this has happened to you, right?
Look at what he won. Look at the coins. Look at see that in the bottom left? What he won? I mean, it's $1.25 bet. It's like, he won $800,000, whatever.
Jeez, yeah. But when you hit that one, you told the bartender, hit the button, I'll split it with you.
Right.
And she hit the Royal for like 3,000?
Yeah, seven times something, whatever it was, yeah.
You're stuck.
What am I going to do?
You got to be a man of your word.
Or I don't do it. I don't show my face there again, but that's, I'm a stand-up guy.
And just like,
I gave her half and she was surprised. I go, well, I told you.
I mean, yeah.
You hit the button.
You can't possibly just say, well, I'll give you a couple of hundred, then sneak out the back door. No, there's no chance. It's a bad move.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. What am I going to do? I mean, I'm an adult, you know.
Sometimes.
Sure, right. But
okay.
The look on Bob Dancer's face when we told that story on here, I mean, he was not happy.
Well, he disagrees with a lot of the techniques that you display as a video poker player.
Yes, right. Sure, certainly. Although Bob's got a good one, though, with the old sneak it out. Bob likes to, he's told this story. If you don't want to hide your winnings, if you get dealt like a four of a kind or a jackpot or something, yank your card out, hold, and then hit it. And then you just, yank it out. Good move.
Well, I mean, for as much as he plays.
Which I think is illegal, but still.
Sounds like it might be a little bit, but as much as he plays and as
Bobby.
What do you think his...
Bobby had in the book. He put it in the book, though. What a book.
On an annual basis, when he was in his prime, what do you think he was like, ticket in, ticket out?
Oh.
I mean...
I put a million through last year. A million.
He was putting...
I mean, he
I don't even... I can't even imagine how much he was putting in.
Text him, John. Email, call.
Oh, he's awake.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's
probably at Dottie's playing 50 a hand.
Might be out here somewhere.
That's a good question. In the heyday, what was the win-loss statement look like?
Oh, my God.
Like Al Capone's rap sheet?
The real one.
Oh.
Yeah, not the one that he was trying to, like, pull the card out on time.
Good call. Yeah, I'd like to know that, John. Okay. Get on that, please. He's up.
Right, welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. Let's talk some college football here as Brad Powers joins the program. Now, Brad, thanks for the time as always. Your thoughts here on this Houston-Baylor game to kick off here this segment. Opened up 10. Baylor was the favorite. They still are, but it's down to like 4. What'd you make of the opening number and where the number sits right now?
Well, I bet the opening number at Circa. So I am probably the only guy that has that 10 because they moved it after I bet it. But to me, it just fits of all the theories that we've been talking about, inexperience, new coaches, spring practice time. I mean, you go check, check, check on all of them. Houston got 8 spring practices and Baylor 0. First year coach for Baylor. Baylor only 8 returning starters, including 2 on defense. For the Bears, they've had COVID issues. If you looked at their depth chart that they released last week, they had 4, notably had 4 starters out, and they didn't put them back on the depth chart this week. So that's not good for Baylor. And you know, you just look at the returning experience on Houston. I know they had a really bad year last year, but 19 returning starters should be in much better shape for Dana Holgorsen. I really, really liked Houston at the 10. And I still think I would lean with them plus a 4.5. Definitely sprinkle a little bit on the money line on the Cougars. I wouldn't be a bit surprised they just win that game.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you as a follow-up here, what's the lowest number that you would have bet if the opener, let's say if it was seven and a half, you still would have been on Houston, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. Anything above seven, I would have fired immediately. And even at, you know, anything above four and a half, I would still lean Houston. My number was three.
Okay.
All right. How are you still attacking this with the opening numbers and betting early in the week based on what's happened? Georgia Southern, Arkansas State, Nia Matalolo comes out and says, you know what, we weren't even tackling in practice. I mean, are you still... You being careful with what you're doing? I know you moved the line, you said, but about what you're doing and then all this info. And even Lincoln Riley says, I'm not even going to tell you our COVID numbers.
Yeah, great question. So I'm being a little bit more cautious. So instead of maybe firing 10, 12 bets, maybe it's six or seven. And then maybe I take a little bit off. So, I mean, okay, instead of doing the full – you know, dime on the side, maybe it's a nickel instead. But I got to say, if I still perceive there to be value, I got to fire away.
Okay. And you thought you were going to catch value, or you liked BYU against Army. We were all excited for that game, too, and that was postponed. How are you going to evaluate BYU and Army moving forward now as Army got another win in cover?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking more towards betting BYU in that game. I just thought it set up well to play two option teams back-to-back, have a week in between them. I really wanted to fire on BYU, anything seven or less. That would have been a bet for me. Army, I think, is going to be a little overvalued in the marketplace. We'll see. We'll get a good look at Army next week. They play Cincinnati.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, we'll see how good they are immediately next week. I think BYU doesn't play again for a couple of weeks, or maybe they rescheduled the game for the 26th. I mean, again, maybe overvalued just because they played a team that didn't even contact for 9 months. So,
yeah.
You know, I upgraded BYU significantly. They looked the part, but I got a feeling that the market upgraded them too much.
How do you anticipate, and what do you do with this Florida Atlantic game after the news? And I saw you retweeted that from the Florida Atlantic fan page or whatever it was.
Well, offshore is king because you can still bet that game offshore, and now Georgia Southern's moved to favorite. The last I checked, and this was last night, most places here in town, I mean, took it off the board, and they've left it off the board. So it initially moved about 3 points from Florida Atlantic from 5.5 down to 2.5, and it's continuing to go Georgia Southern's way. Now, Georgia Southern also had major COVID issues last week, and they almost lost out. I mean, almost losing outright as a 4-touchdown favorite to Campbell is not a good look, but I watched the tape. I didn't think they looked terribly. Again, Florida Atlantic, new coach, a lot of opt-outs, lost their quarterback about a month ago, Robeson for them. I don't like Willie Taggart. Georgia Southern, anything less than three should be a bet.
Okay, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, Brad Powers, our guest. On that Georgia Southern note, going back to last week, did you blindly bet Campbell for a little bit when that news came out and you could still find Georgia Southern? They were laying, I think, 34 originally, but it was like 32 was still out there, 31 before it came down to like 27 or 28?
Yeah, I think you had to.
Yeah.
I mean, even you hate playing into a big move, but I mean, the market's never had to properly, price 30 players out, including, you know, half your starting lineup. So, I mean, even after it moved a couple of points, I still, you know, fired away on that one. And obviously got to hit the news early. But even then, I thought, I don't think they're appropriately pricing it. I didn't know hardly anything about Campbell, and I still fired away. I don't do that very often, guys.
No, but I mean, no. You're exactly right. So, to kind of piggyback what you said, anytime that happens, if you can get news on a football team, by the way, on their own Twitter account, when they tweet out, hey, guys, we're without 33 players, it's like, if you catch that right away, I think you kind of bet the opposite side.
Oh, immediately. Absolutely, you do. And that was kind of a surprise happened on game day. And, again, official Twitter account on the team page for them to – kudos for them for releasing that info.
How many Big Ten teams do you have in your top 25 power ratings? And do you think I think you have Ohio State number one. Is it still the case when they come back late October?
Yeah, I still have. Well, yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure because, I mean, you look at it like a Clemson's going to have 5 or 6 data points by the time Ohio State plays. So right now I still have Ohio State one. But, I mean, we'll see what Clemson looks like for half their season. I got to suspicion that Clemson probably won at that point. I had six Big Ten teams in the top 25. A lot of them are dropping. And, you know, Michigan's a team that's lost three starters to opt out, including Nico Collins here recently, probably their best wide receiver for the Wolverines. You know, Micah Parsons out for Penn State. They dropped in my power ranks. He's, you know, probably the best linebacker in all of college football. So, I mean, on a neutral field, the Buckeyes, double-digit favorites over the rest of the Big Ten.
I loved your tweet. It made a lot of sense. To me, I make the Noah big favorite that they're not going to be able to get all these games in right in a row with the Big Ten. I mean, if there's a game postponed or canceled, a couple of them, you could be going up against one team with 12 wins or 11-12 games against a team maybe with 6 wins.
Yeah, I mean, 8 games in 8 weeks, and then you play a conference championship game. I mean, you know, it's not going to be perfect. There'll be a postponement, one or two. And okay, I mean, Ohio State's going to get the benefit of the doubt, but is Wisconsin or a Penn State or a Michigan going to get the benefit of the doubt when the committee's looking at a 7-0 or 8-0 Big Ten team versus, you know, like you mentioned, an 11-0 ACC team, and even a 10-1, a one-loss SEC team. So I look forward to those conversations.
So BetMGM released numbers to win the Big Ten yesterday, and I agree with what you said about Ohio State laying that many points against anybody. And I probably know the answer to this as well, but to put Michigan, Brad, at plus 550, because Michigan is so, you know, popular with the public bettors, but they're plus 550 ahead of Penn State and Wisconsin at 9-1. I think those numbers should be backwards or opposite, I guess.
Oh yeah, I mean, Michigan shouldn't even be 10-1 in my opinion. I mean, that's on name brand alone, and Michigan's the second favorite. I mean, right now Michigan's on the way outside of my top 20 with the recent opt outs for them, and it looks, you know, if you're reading the tea leaves, it looks like, I mean, they're just going to be used this season to prepare for 2021, get a lot of young players some time. And to me, Wisconsin right now is the second best team. And the way the Big Ten's going to schedule it out, they're still going to do divisions. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's by and far away the best team in the West. They're 9-1. I mean, we're going to get another Ohio State-Wisconsin Big Ten title. And if I got Wisconsin 9-1 in that game, then, of course, I can do a little bit of hedging. So my best bet there would be Wisconsin 9-1. And I think the Buckeyes minus 250 is probably a little too cheap. Probably should be more closer to minus 350, minus 400, in my opinion.
Okay, great. Good talking college football here with Brad Powers at Brad Powers 7 on Twitter. Follow the Money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa, and the Sports Betting Network. Thoughts on the marquee game at night, Miami and Louisville? I know you were down there. Circa opened Miami the favorite, now Louisville 2.5. King looked good against UAB in a top 10 defense the last couple of years. What do you think? Can he do it on the road here?
Yeah, I mean, that offensive line for Miami was the one weakness that to me, they relied heavily on King to make a couple plays in that UAB game to extend the lead. But Miami on the road against a ranked team has not been a good look the last 15 years. I agreed with the initial money on Louisville to flip the favorite, but if it goes to 3, I would lean Miami in that one. Louisville looked pretty good against Western Kentucky. Cunningham's maybe the most underrated quarterback in the country that nobody knows about. And to me, it's a popcorn game. I mean, that's the best game in the first 3 weeks of the season. It's going to be high scoring, a couple of dynamic mobile quarterbacks. Unless it gets to 3, I won't have a bet.
Okay. And we love the Sun Belt, and App State's got a great program, and they got by Charlotte to start. They were 12-1 last year. They're taking on Marshall, and they're up to 4. Marshall's quarterback, I mean, Mitch knows how good, how well he played in the first game, but Marshall's on a 1-9 ATS run at home against teams with a winning record. Any lean on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards App State there. And to me, it goes back to some of the fundamentals I've been using so far this season. App State got 11 spring practice time. Mm-hmm. Spring practices in, Marshall 0. And look, at App State didn't cover last week. I bet Charlotte. I thought App State should have covered that game by maybe even double digits. They fumbled at the 1, gave up a kick return touchdown, dominated a Charlotte team that went to a bowl game last year.
Yep.
Marshall beat up, I mean, an average FCS team at best. App State laying out of the 4.5 to play for me.
Do you have any opinion on this Tulane Navy game? Navy obviously was terrible against BYU. We talked about that a little bit earlier on. Tulane came back and they outscored South Alabama 21-10 in the second half when they corrected things. They did not go down as a big favorite in that game. They actually won 27-24, but it did not cover. Would you have an opinion either side here, Brad?
It's really tough because how much did you downgrade Navy? I downgraded them about 6-7 points, which is incredible for me to downgrade a team. But, you know, something tells me after 2 weeks of contact practicing, that's what Navy's been doing after the BYU nightmare performance for them. and just to serve as Academy off of an embarrassing performance. Lean Navy for me. I expect a much improved midshipman team.
Okay. Anything else that you like this Saturday?
You know, I do like Southern Miss. We talk about teams that, you know, not showing up in their first game. It was Southern Miss. I mean, so much to the point that their head coach resigned. But after further, you know, reflection, I mean, South Alabama might actually be a decent team. Again, they were handing Tulane, who I think is a decent bowl caliber team in the American Athletic, their lunch for a majority of the game with a backup quarterback after Desmond Trotter got hurt. So maybe upon further reflections, South Alabama's not so bad. On top of that, I like the energy of their interim coach. Usually get a one-game bump up for an interim. He's a 30-year-old, very exciting. He's talking about putting the foot on the gas for all four quarters. And I think it's, you know, they're going to be significant because Louisiana Tech was missing 38 players last week. Maybe they're all back this week, but they didn't practice last week. So give me Southern Miss minus the 5, 5.5.
Great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to the next couple weeks when we get a regular schedule and some of these big games in the SEC's back, Brad. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
Yep, thanks, Brad.
College football analyst, used to work with Phil Steele, does an excellent job, good follow on Twitter. And great at college football. Has done well in contests out here as well. Okay, what do you think tonight? Not a must win, but if the Celtics lose this one tonight, they're up against it. Adjusted series price, Miami as high as 160. Struggled in the first and third quarter of game one. 16 points in the third quarter and then put up 35 in the fourth. Outscored the Celtics by 12. They win in overtime. As Udonis Haslam said, we're perfect for this bubble. This is perfect for us. And they've embraced it, and they're 9-1 straight up in ATS in the playoffs. Kemba again, you know, Kemba's been so bad. It also, it forces Brown and Tatum to be great. And thank God they've had Smart, which again, I apologize to him because he's been a guy that you want to leave wide open for much of his career, but he's knocking down these shots so much so that Ryan Russillo had a good point that Kemba turns down a wide open three in game one and passes it to Smart for a contested three. But it's just a deep, talented Miami roster, and just ignore the seed. Just ignore it.
Oh, that means absolutely nothing.
No, it is possible that the best team in the East is a 5 seed. But Miami and all these big tickets out there to win the East and to win the title like we have, it can happen. And it's just the perfect storm where a team like Miami can win the NBA title. But with Boston, it just my takeaway has been, you know what, Toronto was a fraud. So maybe we're given, and it was a fun series, but let's be honest, Boston should have won that in 5. It's an indictment of the Celtics that went to 7. And I can't believe a Brad Stevens coach team actually blew a 12-point fourth quarter lead as well.
So I like Boston to win the game, but I don't like them to win by 3 points or more. So I'm not laying 2.5 points in this spot tonight. I do like the over 208.5, though.
Yeah,
I think it needs to be adjusted a little bit more than that.
I'm with you. That got off to a slow start, and it still got there.
Yeah, it did. Forget about overtime. Still got
there before
overtime.
Right.
So I just think it's going to be two offenses here that are really good. They have good defensive players. I mean, that block by Bam. Oh, my God, is that as good as it gets? But I just think it's going to be good shooters both sides, especially the Heat. A little bit, the pace will be okay. And I think 208.5 is just too small of a number.
Another indictment of the Clippers. Hero, 40 minutes, not playing scared. Robinson, not playing scared. Bam, tough. Paul George, petrified.
Absolutely.
Hitting the side of the backboard. Other guys, Jackson, hot potato. Yep. Other guys didn't want the ball. Morris didn't want to shoot.
That's his new nickname. Not Playoff P. It's Petrified P. That should be the nickname. They were just so bad. The last three games, inexcusable, embarrassing. And, God, I still can't. How do you get double-digit leads in every game and then just blow it? And then you run out. You are run out every game.
Mm-hmm. Front runners.
All right, Absolutely. This is your last chance to subscribe to VSiN before the rates increase. Get the Pro Football Betting Guide with more than 100 pages of NFL betting analysis. The College Guide is in there as well. Insights on every single team, plus daily emails, including our experts' best bets on every sport, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting magazine. Sign up now. Next week, the prices will be higher. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today to lock in your subscription, including our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Brad's on top of his game. Got Houston right away plus 10.
Yep.
And there's a reason why they moved it, and it's now down to 4, 4.5. And he still said, you know what?
Good for him.
Not a bad number still. Sprinkle maybe a little bit on the money line. in Houston in that game against Baylor. Up next, we'll run down the line moves and the bad beats from last night and win some, lose some. In-game action.
Yep.
Go to oddstrader.com, one of the best sites out there for live in-game odds and stats. Oddstrader.com. Here we go. It's time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In win some, lose some. Let the education commence.
Too bad we weren't live on the air. Todd just missed a putt from me to that microphone.
I have him first round leader. He whiffed on a four footer. That's the second time now for birdie. The other one was like 6 feet. Yeah. He missed that one as well. He'd be sitting at two under. Come on, man.
Could have blew it in. Terrible. Bad for the books. A's Rockies under 12 down 11.5, 3-1 A's. Reds 220 up to 250. You couldn't get two runs, huh? 1-0 Cincinnati. Castillo was great, and again, worst off average in the league. Mets 130 up to 175, beat the Phillies 5-4. Game two of a doubleheader, Brewers 155 up to 175, shut out the Cards 6-0. Lose some, Braves 160 up to 175, lost 5-1 to the Baltimore. Angels 185 up to 205, lost 9-6 to the Diamondbacks. Win some, sent in from Scott. He found the Nuggets 23-1. Excuse me, 28-1 on the Denver series after game one. Excellent job. Excellent. It's a two against a three. And to think that was available. Shocker. 180. All right. The puppy with the high jump. Toilet paper holding it down. Piece of cake. The first two. A little bit high jump. I got that one. Number three. Get over there. And now we're on. Yeah, number four. I'm just going to take the easy way out. I'm just going to go underneath. Nah, I'm not even going to try. I respect the guy who knows his limitations.
No, but and this guy on the knows. Test. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He can't do it. Yep. And this is if you ever want to rob a bank, you can bring the dog with, too. Put the mask on. Partner in crime. He's got it. Puts it right on. Where are we going?
Love the training process.
Yep. And our boy Blue at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. All these are up. A little berry today. With chopsticks. And he's got it the whole time. The best part of the noises, yeah. Gotta love the noises, like the pig. Very good. And one, lose some. This could be one of the worst trades in the history of sports. Remember, Paul George can leave after next year. Here was the deal to refresh your memory. Paul George, 4. SGA, Gallinari, 5 first-round picks, some pick swaps in there. Look at that laundry list. Oh, no. Ballmer has got to be losing his mind. That's win-lose.
Not happy. George and Kawhi can each leave, what, after next season? Yeah. Wow.
Ugly, my friend.
What a debacle.
It is.
And he, by the way, Paul George said after the game 2 nights ago that this season was, in fact, not championship or bust.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're building for the future, he said.
Can we drug test him?
Sure. Yeah.
1,000% it was championship or bust.
And I'm so happy that McCollum and Lillard went after those guys on Twitter.
So am I.
That's a good move.
So am I.
Like, who are you to talk trash?
Yeah. Do you want to say anything now about my 30-footers, PG? And I loved it. That guy actually took a screen grab of George shanking that one off the side of the backboard.
This is a good shot?
He tweeted at Dame and Dame responded, yeah, it looks good to me.
It's a good shot?
It's so good.
It's a bad shot if they hit the game winner. Right. It's impossible. That you haven't been to a conference final in your 50 years existence. 50 years you haven't made it to a conference. Well, the best part is you're 0-8 with a chance to go. You've lost all eight.
That and Doc Rivers is now.
And four of them, you've had double-digit leads in the second half.
And Doc Rivers has now blown three different 3-1 series leads, by the way.
Yeah. 14-27 in clinchers.
Oh.
To clinch a series, 14-27. And you're the better team. Up 19 in the third quarter.
They're the highest power-rated team in the NBA. And to fizzle out like that with big leads. That clip that...
made no sense. They were the favorites.
That we played earlier this week, and somehow somebody came up with that Phil Jackson in the huddle in the finals years ago. Lakers against the Celtics. He's like, guys, this is who they are. They blow more fourth quarter leads than anybody in the NBA. We got them right where we want them.
Yeah. This team likes... Lows how to lose was his line.
Yep.
Knows how to lose.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Oh.
He knows how to lose a lot. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard. We will give you our in-pocket plays that we have for tonight's action and an update at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. An amateur is looking great. What were his odds actually before the tournament started? We'll tell you about the updated scores coming up next. On the program, this is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll give you our in-pocket plays here. What we are betting tonight. Okay, so we talked about this in this hour already. I am on Heat Celtics over 208.5 in this game. Mr. Squarepants here today. A bunch of overs for me. Joe Burrow over 23.5 rushing yards. Broke this one down earlier on the show today as well. I think he's going to have a good 6, 7, 8 rushing attempts tonight. I'll take over 23.5.
Ooh.
I'm on the Rockies first five plus 130. This is Freeland going against the Dodgers. They did clinch a playoff spot last night. He's taking on Urias in the game. I also like the under 6.5 in the first five. And other bets I've made, Falcons, Cowboys over 50. That goes back to Sunday night into Monday. John Rahm, Schauffele, U.S. Open bets, along with Answer, Wolf, and Connor. Some long shots I bet during the summer in the pandemic.
All right. Spieth was 3 over, and now he's even. So he's got his game going and the putter working.
He went bogey and double bogey right out of the gates.
Yeah, good bounce back. Tiger, no good. 2 over so far. There's a slew of guys at 1 under, and we have 3 guys at 2 under, including an amateur, as you mentioned.
That's right.
How about that? Rory's one of them, though, at 2 under. Who's this kid?
It's Woo McIlroy and Davis Thompson right now, who birdied number 6 and number 7. So all 3 of those golfers, as we speak, are sitting at 2 under. And then JT Poston is minus 1. Harmon sitting there at minus 1. Harris English, I do have him a bet on first round leader. He's minus 1.
All right.
Hatton gave one back. Hideki with a good start. He's 1 under through 5. You know, nobody talked about Justin Rose either. He's always a gamer the way it seems. He's 1 under right now through 4. And there's pretty much your Kokrak is he just made a birdie, so he's 1 under.
All right, got lucky with the Mets. Unlucky with the Reds on the run line. They won 1-0. Castillo shuts them out, and they only managed 5 hits. And the Whites, it surprised me. Odorizzi was back with his first start since August 21st. He left with an injury. The Twins bullpen shut him down, and they got a couple home runs off Giolito. So that becomes a huge game today in the afternoon with the Twins. It's either a 1-game deficit or a 3-game deficit, and they're throwing Maeda. Lightning and regulation, even money. They haven't lost back-to-back games in the bubble. They finish off the Islanders tonight and go to the Stanley Cup, and they'll beat the Stars. Rockies plus $1.50, like Freeland. Dodgers clinched yesterday and the travel. And I like what Arenado said about, guys, this is embarrassing. 8 teams get in. We are off to a hot start. We can't make the playoffs. Come on. They're 2 back of the Giants. Yep. And I'll take the Giants as well. $1.45 turns out to be at home against the Mariners. They are 3-0 against Seattle. In the last 2 games, they beat them 9-3 and 10-1. And Anderson shut them down last time, and he's supposed to make the start tonight. Cardinals $1.55 against the Pirates. The Pirates are auto fade. They've lost 8 in a row. Shut out last night, as I mentioned. It's Hudson for the Cardinals. A little concerned about the travel, but they are now tied with the Reds for second place. And that is a mess with the second place. And also, when you look at the wild card scenario in the National League, Pirates are a joke. U.S. Open, no hole in one. Phil to miss the cut, plus 110.
Okay. Can you quickly reset the story about the jackpot, the sequential Royal that took place at Red Rock?
How so?
$150,000, just
yeah.
Explain.
There was controversy about who was in the bathroom, who hit the button, whose money was it. Turns out the guy, she threw a fit, but it was his money, his card. She went to the bathroom. She comes back. Uh-oh, what happened? She was crying foul. I don't know what her beef was. But again, in any event, they went to the security and then said, no, he was playing. They're going to pay the person who hits the button. There was some initial internet conjecture about, was he in the bathroom? Was it his money, his card? He was playing. He went to the bathroom. She played. Bam, $150,000. But that wasn't the case.
And it was first date?
Apparently, yes.
Okay, all right. So this is from Kevin on Twitter. The Vegas couple needs to split the cash. Embrace that it was the best first date of their collective lives. Never see each other ever again. And understand it's the best for the relationship. However brief they'll probably ever have in their entire lives.
No.
No? No good?
No. No way. There's no way you split that. Not to mention, as the guys are pointing out, too, who pays the taxes? You got to pay taxes on it.
That's another thing, too.
You're not splitting anything.
Right. Well, if this guy, if it's all him, then, if it was his money, he was playing, she went to the bathroom, then she doesn't have a case whatsoever.
No.
I mean, the more details that come out, I mean, the case, she's not going to have a case at all.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at that thing. Right in order. 25-cent bet.
And that resets at 20,000, you think?
I think it's 20. I'll find out tomorrow. I'll get the nickel. There's a nickel, there's a quarter, there's a dollar, and there's a $2. I think the $2 is 100,000. That was up over 200,000. The $2 is 100,000. It was 200,000, 225 or something.
So many questions now for Bob Dancer. Like, how much money do you think has been popped into that machine over the – and how long, by the way? How long does it take to go from 20,000 all the way up to 150,000? How much money has been through there?
It's got a homework assignment. Palm readers. The plays will come and go. The laughs will last a lifetime. Wolverhampton laying one in the Premier League. Is that today? I don't know what he's got. Is that today? Cardinals, Pirates, first five under 4.5. What's that, some cup they're playing? Phillies, first five with Nola, $1.20 against the Mets. And pinch hitting for Jeff Siegel. It's Jeremy Plonk, top plays from Express Bet editor-in-chief. In the fourth race at Gulfstream Park, Jeremy likes the number 8, Dial a Lady at 10-1. Jockey Alberto Burgos has finished in the top 2 with 15 of his last 32 mounts, including a 35, 51, and $66 winners, as well as a 26-1 runner-up. How about that? All right.
I'm on board.
And in the fourth race at Churchill Downs, Jeremy likes the 9, instigated at 5-1. No trainer's been a better follow at Churchill Downs during its September meetings in the last 4 years than Chris Hartman. 27% wins, 45% in the top 2. Sign up with First Bet today and bet these races and any other race. Go to first.com/Vegas500. You'll receive the $10 free bet right away, plus a $500 bonus for wagering your first 30 days. First.com/Vegas500. First.com/Vegas500. The Dial a Lady, number 8 at Gulfstream, and the 4th, and the 4th at Churchill, the 9 instigated.
Good breakdown by Brad Powers earlier on the Big Ten betting odds to win this conference. If somebody gave me cash today and said you have to bet Michigan at plus 550, I'd say keep your money.
Yep.
There's plus 550 is a joke. I would not touch that ever. Ohio, but he's right. See, if we get Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game against Ohio State, they're not going to beat the Buckeyes, but they're not going to be 9-1 to win that game. So you bet them 9-1 to come out of their side of that division, there, you're going to have some good value.
Well, Minnesota could have a strong year again. I know the wide receiver opted out, but Wisconsin hosts Minnesota this year.
They get them at home this year, yep. They lost a couple years home to
How's
them.
How's Iowa going
to
be?
Decent. They've had a lot of problems, obviously, this offseason. But Nebraska, I know they were super giddy to get it back there. 20-1, no thanks. I don't want that one either.
No. Martinez again? No. I love Frost, but...
Yep. Up next, fantasy football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian. Who does he like tonight? Does he think Burrow can break out? The running backs involved? And what do Michael Thomas fantasy owners do now that he is out for this long? We'll ask him coming up next.
Here we go. What a commercial break it was. We'll tell you what happened during the commercial break. But week two is here. The Battle of Ohio, the Browns and the Bengals, and Bet Rivers Sportsbook boosted the odds on Burrow to throw a touchdown. Even money with a maximum $25 bet. Will Burrow throw a touchdown? Your hometown sportsbook, Bet Rivers. Fast payout approvals, great customer service. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in Jersey is Play Sugar House. The Burrow boost. Great job, Bet Rivers. Will he throw a touchdown? $25 maximum bet. If he does, get that sucker at even money with the boost, and you are cashing. And this is like, I'm out. This might be like the fourth.
Rip the Band-Aid off, Paul. Well, I'm out.
The fourth time this has happened while we're on the air. Pat Reed with a hole in one. Unbelievable. On this course.
You got to stop betting that prop.
On this course. Well, I can't. I don't bet it heavy anymore. I used to. How many times has it happened since the restart?
A lot.
Fat Pat Reed with the hole in one. On this course. And not to mention the amateur has another birdie.
Oh, sure he is.
Thompson's
three under right now.
Oh, that's supposed to be a tough course. It's a John Deere Classic.
If somebody wins at 26 under, I'm giving up on golf.
20, how about 15?
No, I know. I went over the top of 26, but if it's going to be 15, 17, whatever, under par, get out of here with that.
Oh,
the
my US God, Open. I lose again on that. Well, I mean, again.
You'd rather have it happen right now, day one on the year,
Sunday?
Than Sunday, like, late in the afternoon.
Humans with the text.
Oh, yeah, he's
Thanks,
up watching.
Matt. Thanks, Matt.
He's up early watching. Some fantasy football chatter here. Paul Charchian joins the program, guillotineleagues.com. You can get all of his player ratings every single week for free with great breakdowns. Charch, good morning. Thanks for popping on as always. Are you expecting big things tonight from both running backs, Chubb, Mixon, and what do you think we see from Joe Burrow in game number two for him?
All right, well, let's start with Burrow because a breakout game is possible here. That maybe this is going to be the game that we go back and point at later and go, wow, you know, he proved that he belongs here in part because the cornerback situation is a wreck for the Browns. You know, if you didn't know last week, they had three cornerbacks out. This week, Greedy Williams and Kevin Johnson are out. They've got a linebacker, Mack Wilson, out. His replacement, Jacob Phillips, out. I mean, it's just the Browns are really hammered by injury right now, and this might be a great opportunity. I thought Burrow looked good last week. You guys watched him?
What were you watching?
I thought he looked fine.
What are you talking about? He had 160 yards, 80, 70 on the last drive.
To me, he looked like he was a competent NFL quarterback. And by virtue, you know, by comparison of first start rookies, I thought he looked like a competent first start rookie. I think we're going to have a good game here. Now, just remember, by the way, safeties are terrible for the Browns. They've got Andrew Wrong Angle Sendejo back there. Lamar Jackson surgical in his dissection of the Cleveland defense. I think Burrow's going to have a nice game here. You know, from a fantasy standpoint, he still clocks in a quarterback 23. So I'm not saying it's going to be a Hall of Fame effort here, but I think he's going to look like he belongs in this game. You mentioned the running backs. I love the running backs in this one.
Yeah.
For Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, know that Cincinnati is going to be without their two starting defensive tackles, Geno Atkins and Mike Davis. It's a fantastic opportunity for them. They got rocked by Austin Ekeler and Josh Kelly last week. And this is, you know, presumably a better offensive line, although we're watching injuries there too. So they could be missing both their starting tackles and their starting center, who are all questionable. Hopefully those guys all go. And if they do, then I like Chubb. I like Hunt. But Joe Mixon with a fantastic opportunity. In his two meetings with the Browns last year, he put up 308 rushing yards, three scores, and he carried the ball 50 times. He's averaged 5.5 yards per carry in his last five against Cleveland. So I think this is a great opportunity for Joe Mixon.
Okay. I like hearing that. In one league, I had the 12th pick, and I went back-to-back with Mixon and Chubb. So it didn't work out last week. I lost last week partially because of those two players, but hopefully they bounce back tonight. What do you suggest fantasy owners of Michael Thomas do after week one? You spent a lot of, like, draft capital on him, right, taking him super high, fifth, sixth, wherever it was. He goes down with the ankle, going to be out for who knows how long. It quite frankly, it just stinks. What do you do?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Obviously, Iron Man style player who never misses games, but high ankle sprains are really serious. You have two bad options. One is you play through it and extend the high ankle sprain maybe to all season like Saquon Barkley did last year. Never the same guy. He was playing at like 70% all year, and it just never came together for Saquon Barkley. To me, that's worse. Or you got to take the better part of a month off. And here's the devastating part for fantasy owners. They've got a week six bye. There's a scenario out here. If this thing is severe as they're talking about, where they just hold him out through the week six bye, and you don't even have Michael Thomas until week seven. Oh. I mean, that's not off the table if this is a traditional high ankle sprain that takes a month. You know, if you're going to bring him, why bring him back in week five when you're looking at a week six bye, right? So there's a scenario here where we don't see Thomas or we don't see him right for a very long time.
Ugh. Boy, is there anybody out there on the waiver wire still right now that you like? A wide receiver, I know we're past that day, but who do you like?
Yeah, well, a couple of guys that I mentioned last week that are set up for really good games again this week. Paris Campbell against that Viking secondary that's completely rebuilt and was totally anemic last week. And then Alan Lazard, your number two wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers, who couldn't look better last week. And he gets to go up against Detroit. Detroit's cornerbacks are all suffering from hamstring injury. They may be missing their numbers one, three, and four cornerbacks for this game. So, yeah, it's Alan Lazard is a nice sneaky play. And then, oh, how about this? Scotty Miller, Tom Brady targeted him a bunch last week. And then Chris Godwin's in the concussion protocol. He may not play in this game. Scotty Miller goes up against Carolina. The rebuilt secondary was bad last week. This is a nice opportunity for him to get picked up and play too.
Yeah. Oh, I watched that whole game. But both secondaries, like your Vikings, guys are wide open the whole game.
Woo. Absolutely.
Yeah, Scotty Miller's a good one. I like him. I've had my eyes on him, especially yesterday, because I have Godwin in the league with that concussion protocol pretty much out of nowhere. Week one surprises that you think can actually, guys that can have a good season, week one surprises that you're not buying.
So you're talking about guys who did well. I don't think are going to keep it up. Yep. Is that what you mean?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. David Johnson, to me, everybody's talking about David Johnson is like this revival that he looks like 2016's version. I look just okay. He's like maybe an NFL starting running back. That's about it. He goes to Baltimore where he will probably get shut down. And I have very little confidence in his ability to do that back to back. So he's a guy that I'm showing caution on. I'm showing caution on Raheem Mostert. The Jets organizationally can do one thing. Stop the run. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing they can do. And I think Raheem Mostert could suffer in this game. Chris Carson goes up against what has traditionally been a very good New England run defense. And when they only gave up the two rushing touchdowns all of last year. So I think you're going to have to show a little bit of caution him coming off a big game as well.
Charge, please share your ridiculous numbers. I was reading your website this week. The breakdown here of Derrick Henry against this Jacksonville defense.
Yeah, Derrick, this is obviously, needless to say, a really good opportunity for Derrick Henry. He gets to go up against Jacksonville. This is Jacksonville defense that obviously got gutted in the offseason. His last two home games against Jacksonville, 36 carries, 397 yards, and six touchdowns. Those are two game totals. He's gone over the century mark on the ground in six of his last seven games. Jaguars have allowed 17 scores to running backs in their last eight games, going back to last year, obviously. Two per game. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this for Henry.
Okay. You mentioned Joshua Kelly earlier in this segment. I like him. I'm high on him. I have a bet on him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at 100-1. What do you make of him this year? I think he can come up. Right? Somebody's got to get those Melvin Gordon carries.
Right. And you framed it up perfectly. We didn't know if he'd walk right into that role going into the season, but clearly he's in that role. He got all 12 of his carries in the second half. And Mitch, he looked great. Yep. And they gave him carries inside the 5-yard line. Yep. You don't usually just bypass Austin Eckler so you can give your first start rookie those money carries near the stripe, but they did. The dangerous part of your bet is Austin Eckler probably has to get an injury for Kelly to get the requisite numbers. But man, he looks like he belongs in the NFL. He's my number 29 back this week against Kansas City. The one thing you can do against Kansas City's defense is run the ball. And I think we're going to see plenty of Joshua Kelly in this game.
Beautiful call on the Packers matchup. Oh, what Rodgers are going to do with Adams, and your rankings were great and you made some people some money. What do you think about the Vikings moving forward now and Rodgers going against Detroit, who Trubisky lit up in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I love Rodgers again here. He's my number three ranked quarterback, and I like his receivers as well. I already made passing reference to Alan Lazard, who's playable in a pinch, and Davante Adams will be great as well. Again, Lions cornerbacks are all racked by injury. Vikings side, It's just too much change. You got a whole new defensive line and three new starting cornerbacks, and it's just too much change. So Philip Rivers, I think, comes off a bad game last week and probably does fine here. I would start T.Y. Hilton. I'd start Paris Campbell, available in many leagues. So those are guys that I think all have a chance to look really good. And then we'll get our first long look at Jonathan Taylor. Really excited what he can do. You know, not rooting for injury, but with Marlon Mack out of the way, Jonathan Taylor goes into a big role in this offense. They showed he can catch. They even threw to him a few times in the game last week. So, yeah, that's going to be exciting. He's way up at running back 11, so I expect him to do very well in his first NFL start.
Okay, the floor is yours. Guillotine leagues are still open. You can join these leagues, for the next, certain amount of weeks. Go ahead and tell
us about 6-7 weeks we'll be making these, So the premise goes like this, and Mitch, you're in one. You know how this goes. You start the season with 17 teams. Every week, the low-scoring team gets cut, and their players all go to the waiver wire. And that's where it gets really thrilling. So, Mitch, in your league, and you and I are in the same league, there's a bunch, you know, we get to see all of a sudden these great players hit the waiver wire. Normally, we're bidding on scrubs and the refuse of the league. Not now in a guillotine league. We get to go have fun and just build these superstar teams throughout the season. And all you have to do is not be last in any week.
That's it. It's the best as you are as well. Thanks for the time. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Yep,
there you go. Paul Charchian. You can get in again like next 6-7 weeks. You got to do it. You got to try one of these leagues. They're absolutely as fun as it gets.
Point shaver checking in. Freeland 11-0 career to the under against the Dodgers. And you should see my mentions. I have it on. I have the golf on. Yep. I love everyone out there, but... It's just always funny when that happens. Hey, do you guys see
it? It's unlike anything I've ever seen. Like, viewers of this show, it's like you're a puppy and you just went to the bathroom in the house. They love rubbing your nose in the potty, right? Every single time you lose this bet.
Update, yeah. Pat Reed, hole in one, guys.
Update. Oh, he did?
Hey, Paul, you see that? Update.
You're kidding. Come on.